When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture. Luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday. It is the 21st of August, and you're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. On today's show is a variety of subjects we're going to be going through, hopefully in the next 2 hours, including the latest on the people's vote and the Tory rebel seemingly going on. Boris Johnson's seemingly unstoppable rise to be the next Conservative Party leader. We'll ask you for your thoughts on that one, as well as the continuing fallout and arguments within the Labour ranks. Is Labour a party divided? After the anti-Semitism row we had a few weeks ago, we now have the pictures arriving or appearing last week of Jeremy Corbyn in a Tunisian cemetery, apparently laying a wreath. And away from that to the terrorists who were involved in the Munich massacre, and away from that, going to be looking at the rise in the number of cases of children and young adults with type 2 diabetes. We seem to be in the middle of an epidemic of young person obesity. Asking about your thoughts on that, as well as the recent reports about a surge in the number of measles cases. Looking at, is this a fallout from the decision by many parents not to have their children vaccinated because of perceived link between the vaccinations and autism? 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official if you wish to leave a post. And you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 99. Joined in on the show today by a panel of two. Regular guest on the show, Alf Brewer. Morning to you, Alf.
Hello. Well, and thank you for my... What is it? Obesity... Diabetes, yeah, both of them.
You got both of those. You're looking very trim today, I have to say.
No, I'm just so glad that I'm a youngster.
Exactly. And first time guest on this show. We always like to bring in new people in. All the way, that sounds like a Vegas introduction, but joining me, Alex Rafaela. Good morning to you, Alex.
Well, good morning, Giles. I can say what a pleasure it is to actually be here in your place of work for the first time. The fact that I can see you do have a place of work.
Yes, 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email. Let's have a look at what's making the front pages. Deadly measles and prostate hope as well. We may look at that as well if time allows. Looking at the front pages then, Daily Telegraph has a cartoon. Daily Telegraph has a cartoon of a woman overboard, dubbed the unlikely survivor, treading water. She's surrounded by sharks, thinking to keep herself calm and doing nothing as her ship sails away. It is, of course, Theresa May. One of the sharks has a huge blonde fin, Boris Blonde, and the cartoon appears above an article by former Conservative leader William Hague, warning the Tories not to change their rules to give grassroots members more of a say in choosing a leader, a change that would be seen as helping Boris Johnson. The party could be swamped by an influx of new recruits, warns Lord Hague, the very thing that happened to Labour in 2015 when Jeremy Corbyn was elected. Kate Longstaff is the British woman saved after going overboard from a cruise liner in the Adriatic. In the words of the Daily Mail, we have a jumper, that's what the captain says at the time. So lots of coverage about her miraculous survival. Also, editorial writers taking a dim view of what's going on in prisons after yesterday's damning inspection report on HMP Birmingham. The Sun talks of a meltdown, asking, what has the Justice Ministry been doing while anarchy engulfed Birmingham jail? According to the Mail, our powder keg prisons are ready to explode. It blames outdated, neglected buildings, overcrowding, insanitary cell conditions, too few prison officers, and the scourge of drugs and violence. The Times even says the prison crisis is galloping onwards. The Daily Express looks ahead to today's keynote speech by Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt. It says he'll warn the EU not to risk a messy divorce that could leave Europe divided for a generation. At the same time, the paper's website reports that a new Brexit-backing alliance of 10 campaign groups and think tanks is being launched in a fresh attempt to force Theresa May into changing course and delivering a full break with Brussels. The paper says that the move follows widespread concern in the Eurosceptic movement that Mrs. May's vision for Brexit will still leave the UK closely tied to Brussels and forced to accept rules and regulations without having their say in the formulation And finally, with figures today suggesting households are £19 billion in arrear with their bills, the Daily Express highlights the thrift of a woman from Bury in Greater Manchester. Claire Hughes has apparently saved more than £15,000 to put a deposit on a house by trawling the web for discount coupons and cut price offers. Now we've got the house, she tells the paper, it's time to save for the wedding. Those are your front pages in the UK. Making the front pages then, or making the main story, seems to be Theresa May's continuing problems with the Conservative Party. The long, hot summer of discontent, Alf, for the Conservatives.
As I forecast, when everybody was saying, oh, it's going to be the summer, she wants to close Parliament early, it's going to go quiet, and you go, this, you know, government never goes quiet, that's the first thing. And secondly, they're always, and there was always going to carry on, especially the bit that's gone quiet is you don't quite know how many of the Tory parties Theresa May's got round, how many of the chairs she's spoken to, what the reaction's been back. And I agree with Hike. If you want to turn the Tory party into the Labour Party, then you know, let people join for a fiver, because you'll soon suffer from that. So I just find that the whole Brexit thing is it's not going to go away. I don't know why people, you know, for people who don't understand, I want to stay in Spain. I want things to stay exactly the way they are. So, you know, I'm not one of these that's just get out of Europe. But a decision was made. I didn't like it. I'm not even sure that the majority of the population of Britain like it now, because they hear all the scare stories. But we've got to get on with it. And they are the government. And I don't understand this bit. You know, the Tories amongst themselves, she's got her people who want to say, we just pull out, which is what I said a year ago, I think it was. Pull out, let them take us to court. If they think we can survive without Europe and having deals with Europe, which is an absolute arrant nonsense, but if they think they can do it, get on and do it. So I don't think they're Tory rebels. I think they're the Tories who are saying that's what we were campaigning for. Just get out of Europe. Let them get on with it. You know, and I don't see any difference today than then.
Richard's already, we were getting WhatsApps here on +34 645 99 67 99. Richard's come in from London saying the Tories don't need £5 donations, Alf. They have plenty of elite donors.
No. The answer is, if you want people, it's a simple argument. If you want to try and turn your party into a party of, you know, people who are there, 500,000 members in the Labour Party, there's never been that many members, not in my lifetime anyway. And you go, well, why is it? Because if you drop the amount of money, you will get a lot of people who say, well, I can now have my say. No different Why was it that when we had the referendum on leaving the EU, why was it the biggest turnout forever? Because everybody could feel part of the decision. Whereas when you have an election, you know, you live in Newham, it's called you vote for Labour or you vote for the Orange with Labour on it. You know, there isn't a variation. And the same, I presume, in Chelsea and Westminster. And so a lot of people don't bother to participate because their vote is of no value. So it means in the Tory party, if you've got elite people who are doing it, and they don't need the fiver to sustain themselves financially, but it does bring in 500,000 people who the Tory party will then argue are their advocates in the field to say, vote Tory. That's why you grow a big party. And all I go is, yeah, that's fine, except for the internal workings of the party then means, in Labour's case, yeah, 300,000 people join for whatever it was, £4 or £5, and all of a sudden you've got no history of people with a socialist background. You just got people. Yeah, how many times was I told on air, oh, well, there's, you know, 100 Tories have joined in order to vote against whatever the thing. You know, loads of people were joining the Labour Party to vote against what was, i.e., to get Corbyn. I'm not sure that happened, and there would have been a few people who did it, but what you did have was this thing called Momentum, they call themselves today, in my days, Militant Tendency, Trotskyites, you know, whatever they are. Instead of paying 25, 35, 45, I think my fees this year, £52, something like that, instead of paying that, they pay a five and they get a vote.
Al, you were in London when the force, well, you're based in London. You had some very sort of forward thoughts on the fact when the Labour Party were inviting this fresh new blood, as it was seen, into the party.
Well, I think the thing is, Giles, if you look at what's happening now in the Conservative Party, to open up the Conservative Party is really to bring more of a right-wing ideology, which is why Boris and co and Rees-Mogg and co want to open up the Tory party to the same kind of voting system as the Labour Party, because they would like to flood the Tory party with the type of ideology that has been stoked up because of the Brexit process. Whereas in what happened with Labour is it was a lot of people who have felt disaffected with politics over the past 40 or 50 years, and especially around the New Labour period. And so suddenly there was a new way of thinking that was going back to some kind of socialist roots of lots of people, lots of younger people who've never even thought about politics. Suddenly they found something they could believe in. But now, over this summer of discontent, the Tories are thinking, great, we've taken this little sort of right-wing group that has held Theresa May and David Cameron hostage previously, are now taking over A, the Tory party, and B, the country. And so what they're thinking, great, we can flood. You know, if you look at Boris Johnson's recent, his Facebook page at the moment, which is filled with, you know, Islamophobia and racist and comments, because we have now stoked up this sort of right-wing, hideous opinions, of which the Tory party is thinking, great, we can take all of these people, we'll take all the ex-UKIP, we'll take anybody who is now, who has these feelings, and we'll now take any centrist Tory party members and take the Tory party completely to the right, which means we're now going to have, there's now going to be an ideological split, which is now, unfortunately, is the way that Britain has gone.
And we're going to go live to the lines. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costa-Blanca.
Morning, Kate.
Morning. I want to take 2 points of Alf first, and then, but they, some of them hit on the last speaker, Alex. First, on Brexit, summarising what you were saying on that, it was voted in democratically, let's get on with it. I think the categorical answer to that is, this is a hell of a really important decision for Britain. It was as big as the 1975 one. Indeed, you could say it's twice as big because it's in the light of the knowledge of the system. So 2016 vote is important. It was very clear that a large number of people who've said so out loud did not, they were registering a vote of protest against the government because, as Alf accurately said, they had a chance to say something. You know, and if you were in the first past the post system where you're always in a Tory constituency, I've always pushed to the line that you do register your vote, but I know a lot of people don't. This is, however, a chance that people had to register their vote as they thought, their vote protest against the government, because the government was asking people to vote for Remain, so sod the government to two fingers. This is not, in hindsight, or even at the time, very intelligent, but that is what a lot of people have now said they were doing. In something such as important as this, it would seem to be a wise thing to double-check that the voting would still be the same now. It is not too late. And I see absolutely no reason for anyone to say, oh no, we can't just go on with what we did at one particular point in time. That is silly. Secondly, on the anti-Corbyn line that Al keeps on pushing, I know a number of people who rejoined the Labour Party, people who've been members for 40 years, 50 years, who dropped out even before the Iraq issue because they didn't like the line. You know, one of the summaries was everything that the Labour Party in opposition said it's doing, it's now implement, opposed, is now implementing or hasn't reversed. So the danger, which is interesting, of the Johnson case is what we've seen, and it came up at the last programme, is a flagrant, blatant attempt to win the popular support. And Boris, when he invited journalists to come and have a cup of tea, and everyone presumed he would be saying something significant, just said, pass the teapot.
Mm.
I mean, he won a lot of support from mainstream, the kind of people think that he, you know, he's representing what they think, and all that Boris is representing is a naked bid for power.
Thank you very much for calling in there. 952-784-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. Going to the WhatsApps, we can't afford to wait for an appeal, Alf. So much damage has already been done and time lost on this Brexit shambles. And so many have changed their mind, now they know how it will affect them. We need a people's vote now. And also from Richard, 500k Labour members and they still can't Uncle Jezza in power despite the massive problems the Tories have. Come on, Alf.
Yeah, I understand why people want to say that, but that's, you have to have an understanding both of the internal workings of the organisation, plus the way the electorate thinks, plus you have to trust people on occasion, because whilst I say during parliamentary elections, people don't participate. You know, the difference is local elections. Local elections compared to parliamentary elections. Nobody turns out to vote for councillors. Why is that? Well, because they don't trust them in the main, don't care in the second thing, and whatever is said will happen anyway because somebody in government will decide. And so it goes up the chain. But let's put a few First of all, I'm not anti-Corbyn. I oppose Corbyn in getting to the position. I opposed Corbyn and what he stood for before. I've known him, I've known Jeremy Corbyn for, in fact, Pete Wilsman, who I know very closely, because he can try and abuse me the same as a lot of others do. Pete's a mate, and he lived in Woolwich, and I was his political organiser, and the guy is a diamond. But, you know, it doesn't mean to say I love him to death. I oppose where he comes from. I don't want Trotskyites running my country. I don't want people who are communists running my country. I don't want any of them. So, that's, you know, if that's being anti-Corbyn, then I'm anti-Corbyn. But that's not where I stand, because I want the Labour Party to win. And just so that we can correct a few things, because it's said, you know, sorry, Alex, New Labour was a failure. Three terms of office, the biggest single votes that Labour ever got for a long time. We just ended up with the wrong person at the wrong time when we were on the slide. And I'll tell you what we got instead. We got Cameron and UKIP saying, let's leave Europe. That's what replaced Gordon Brown. Absolute arrant nonsense. But you got, at the end of the day, Kate, the people in Britain voted the way they voted and you suffer the consequences. We suffered Cameron. We suffered Cameron putting on a vote. We suffered Cameron saying, I'm going to campaign to stay in Europe. Oh, well, he really did a good job on that. And what they are doing, what the Tories will be doing, they're not pleading to ex-Tories. They're not pleading to right-wing people. They're pleading to UKIP voters. Understand, at least 50% of the people who voted UKIP were Labour. They were Labour supporters for life. They're never going to join the Tory party. So they're after this very niche group of people who were common or garden, if you can put it that way. They're not leaders in UKIP. They're not the echelons. These are people who voted UKIP because they didn't want to be in Europe. And now what you've got to say is, you know, the people of Britain voted to get out of Europe, but the people were wrong. No, I don't think they were wrong. I don't agree with them, but they voted the way they voted because they voted that way. Whatever reason that was given, and nobody can say, because they have no idea, nobody can say, if we had another vote today, this would be the outcome. Nobody can say that.
Alex, just quickly.
The vote was advisory. The vote was never, it was never legally
standing. Well, Alex, absolute arrant rubbish.
So
never mind about the government said, Cameron said, if the people vote in favour.
There was no dark esoteric methodology happening in there. It was an advisory vote, which was manipulated by the right-wing press.
Cameron said, you vote that way, we'll give you what you want. That's what he did. Don't start blaming the people again.
We go live to the lines. Viewpoint, always live and always lively. Live to the lines, 952-784-4000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, sir. It's John from Islington.
Good morning, John.
I think my question is going to be answered, actually. I was just saying you've introduced a new chap, Alex. Would appreciate a little bit of a background, what he's done in the past and where, so we know where he's coming from, what sort of he's...
I've worked in the media all my life, actually, John. So, and most of us who've worked in the media most of our life realise that actually, if you see a screaming headline, if you run to the diametric opposite of that screaming headline, you may find some kernel of truth. But so when it comes to the manipulation of the press and how the press has been used as a tool for a small cabal of Tory industrialists, and one can see how well the press has been manipulated in the way of thinking and creating such a wide schism in the belief patterns of Britain these days. So my own personal perspective is watching how the press has been used as a tool. I mean, if you look at the current the current swathe of stories that have covered Corbyn at the moment, when at the moment you've had Boris Johnson create, you know, talking about being, I mean, you know, for a leading politician to say the remarks that he has done is absolutely it's untenable for a man in his position. Yet what do we see in the press is we see these swathes of attacks against Jeremy Corbyn, and it's the press is being used as a deflection tool against actually what should be discussed at the moment, but because Boris is just about to launch his attack to take over the Tory party and has recently met with Steve Bannon, the right-wing methodologist who controlled the Trump campaign, one can see actually that the press is being used. A house flush is going on at the moment with the right-wing papers and how they're manipulating the situation in the country. So my background is the media. So, and it's where I sit and take a step back. And look and see how the games are being played by the press barons.
John, is that a fair reply?
Well, yeah, well, basically, I'm totally independent, to be honest with you. But what has shocked me, I mean, I was a big fan of CNN, but your guy was talking about purely the right-wingers controlling the press. But if you look at CNN now, I mean, it's become so ridiculously biased that nobody takes any notice of it. In fact, I'm great for doing tragedies. They're fantastic for that. But I find now all I see on CNN is a group of very vicious-looking women and horrific. They've lost their legitimacy as far as I'm concerned. I now get all my political news where the ladies are sitting there with the guys and laughing and relaxing on CNBC. they tell it as it is and what's coming up, whereas there's no bias to it. But with CNN, equally, you may say the right-wing press control it, and they probably do. But CNN has just gone so overboard that, you know, they're almost making Fox look polite. But that's just an opinion. But I can now see where he's coming from, basically, and it'll be interesting to see. And what's going to interest me is Trump's negotiations with the EU. They're supposed to have a say. I think Stephen Wilson says an armistice, and that'll be interesting. But it'll be interesting to see. And I can only see Trump winning, quite honestly, because he holds all the aces and effectively the importer, which he is effectively, they hold the aces. And it'll be very interesting to see how those negotiations come about, because I can't see the EU agreeing to anything that the US wants. I don't see him coming. It'll be interesting to see what happens from there and whether the tariffs come in and we have our little war. Anyway.
Thank you for your call in there, John.
Okay.
And John, and also may I say, I do firmly believe in a free press. I mean, and I do think one of the things that we do have is a free press. You know, if you want to have a screaming headline that the Queen comes from a family of alien lizards or the Pope is gay, then that's absolutely fine. But, you know, one should be able to substantiate one's claims. And I think that ultimately we're now suffering from a lack of substantiation.
Okay, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Another call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live from TRE. What is your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's Carol from the Costa Blanca.
Morning, Carol.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I just want to get back to what Mr. Grump said about Cameron. Cameron promised the people that if the vote was a yes, then they would leave the market. And that's a fact. That's what he did. I think that was one of the reasons he retired, plus the other shady stuff that was going on. But I think that's one of the reasons that Theresa May got in. And don't forget, she voted no. And the other thing is, I think it's totally, totally unfair. I'm a British citizen, but I'm also a resident of Spain. And because I've lived here more than 15 years, I'm not allowed to give an opinion on the way my country, it's still my country, the way my country is voting. And I'm not allowed to do that because I've lived here over 30 years. So I'm not allowed to cast a vote. And you think of all the people that are actually living in Spain that couldn't vote. Mm. Because I agree with Mr. Grumps that we should have stayed. But however, it was the vote.
Carol, just to let you know, Mr. Grumpy is in fact Mike Senker. Alf Brewer is not. He's many things, but he is not Mr. Grumpy. But thank you very.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry,
it's quite all right. But I'm sure if he's looking for a superhero name, I think we've now found it.
I've been called much worse.
I am sure.
Just the answer to it is called, you know, just understand on three separate, you should go on the web, join the web where people are claiming to get rid of the 15-year rule. There's a huge amount of people that are in it. There are lots of things going through Parliament. But just remember, because this is what always happens, you know, I'm not teaching people to suck eggs. When political parties promise to do something, they have to put it either into the Queen's speech or allocate parliamentary time. On three separate occasions since Cameron got elected, they promised to get rid of the 15-year rule. We're still waiting. Every time something gets near, there's a promise. Before the EU referendum, there was a promise. Anybody who's, you know, we get rid of the 15-year rule, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's not that they lie. It's just that they don't quite tell you what's got to happen. And it's no use Theresa May saying, we'll give you the vote, if she hasn't then put it into the Queen's speech. It's a change of the law of England.
Just looking at some more WhatsApps coming up, +34 645 99 67 95. So we should now suffer the punishment, Alf. The vote was advisory. It wasn't actually ratified until the panic triggering of Article 50. Also, the vote was advisory, Alf. That's a fact, not an opinion.
But no, that's not a fact, because Cameron made it absolutely clear. It might be, I'm going to go to the people to ask what they want, but whatever the outcome of that vote, the government will follow. That's what was said. That's a government promise. I'll tell you, that's one of the government promises that they kept, because they got this vote. Cameron didn't agree with it, maybe. Never mind about Article 50, because that was about the bureaucracy and the administration of writing all the paperwork up. But on the day after, they said quite clearly, we are going through the process of leaving the EU. That was a government decision. All decisions in Britain are made by a government. So every single referendum that you hold, of course they're advisory. But that's why you go to the people and say, what do you think, people? But I tell you what, after you've told us what you think, we're not going to ignore you. And that was the promise for the EU referendum. So people can argue, oh, it was only advisory, because that's the legal status.
So, Alf, do you then think that it's one thing saying we are going to leave the European Union? It is another thing saying how are we going to leave the European Union? And I would say that a lot of people have been looking at the process and say it's an absolute dog's dinner and has been completely mishandled. And a lot of people are suddenly thinking, well, we didn't vote. You know, originally, good old Boris was trumpeting a Norway-style deal, and that's how we were going to have our cake, and we were going to eat it too. But it looks like we're going to actually leave the table without any crumbs. And I think there are a lot of people in Britain who are thinking, well, actually, the terms of how we leave the EU are far more important than just the ideological concept of leaving the EU. If leaving the EU is going to make Britain worse off on many, many, many different levels under the current terms, because as we're hurtling towards a no-deal Brexit, which are going to hurt the areas of in Britain where it's going to hurt the most are the people who actually voted to leave. You know, do you think that takes a priority, or just because we had this ideological concept of we must leave the EU at any cost is more important than actually the internal process and the internal details of how we're going to leave the EU?
No, absolutely not. Otherwise, you would run every single government and every single government decision based on something that the people have said. In 1975, there was a referendum about joining the EEC. In 1975, the vote for that was overwhelming to join. I think they dispatched Ted Heath over to do the negotiations or whoever it was. And we joined the EEC. Since, you know, after that, three separate general elections, we end up in the European Union. Nobody shouted at the time to say we want a referendum to find out why are we going for it? This was a trade deal that turned into immigration, that turned into trade, bigger trade, it turned into controls, and I know it's a joke, but straight bananas and all that. So
bigger trade or bigotry? I couldn't hear. I couldn't understand that.
Bigger trade.
Trade. And it was probably bigotry as well. But, yeah, and all I've heard from people who come on this panel is, I didn't vote for that. So when the people get a choice to say, I didn't vote for that, I'm leaving, it's called, well, you should have voted the right way in three general elections and stopped Thatcher signing off these deals that turned us from the EEC to the European Union. If you'd have stopped that, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
And we go live to the lines. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Technicality, Alf. And it's more than a technicality. This is the whole spirit of the thing. Yes, Cameron implied that he has the authority to accept the results of the referendum as given. However, he never did. He didn't have the constitutional power. And when the vote in the year before, whether or not to have a referendum, it was hotly debated, and in particularly on the Conservative side, who were only minded to vote for or allow a referendum on the grounds that constitutionally it was only advisory, and that there would be a chance for Parliament to come back and decide what they were going to do about it. And they didn't have that opportunity. So there's a sleight of hand right from the beginning.
No, they did, because they filled the forms in to leave the EU, and that was a government decision. So don't stop all this nonsense about the government never had a say. Cameron never once said, I've got the power, because he's the Prime Minister, not the government. But they did go back to the government, and the government made a decision to fill in the form to leave the EU. Nobody else made that decision.
I would say that this was a case where both government and opposition had panic attacks. There was suddenly this whacking great thing, this is the will of the people, it gets shouted. What we've got to at the moment is that through a long series of mistakes and fudges, at the moment there's a small band of hard nut Brexiteers leading the government by the nose.
Thank you for the call in. Go to the line. Busy this morning. 952-78-4000. Good morning. Call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello. Hello. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
This would be one of those hard nut Brexiteers. Listen, I'm confident in my argument. I've said everything before as far as favouring Brexit, so I don't need to reinforce it because I'm confident in what I'm saying. People that do need to reinforce it are probably less sure of the position. But what I do want to say is that I think people should be allowed to vote in such situations, because people that have been, I'm out of breath, I've been working, people that have fallen out from wars that we've fought can settle in Britain and vote. So why can't British nationals vote, the topsy-turvy world we live in? The other point is that I was listening last night that a third of food's wasted. Now, when food in the world is in short supply, what kind of morons have such bureaucracy that wastes a third of food in Europe because it's the wrong shape or size? That says it all.
Thank you for your call in there. One more call before we go to the commercial break. Good morning, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Felix here. Hello, Giles.
Good morning, Felix.
Hello. I've actually prepared for this morning by studying the situation in America, Trump versus Mueller, which I think is coming to a head. You know, a really big, big situation developing there. However, I'll just repeat, I said so often from the very first day on this program that we are in a very transitional period in the world situation, especially the main countries. It centers on the question of parliamentary democracy and the whole structure of British society, American society, so on, has been based on parliamentary democracy. And this is based on the idea that you have an election, each side puts its case forward. One side may do better than the other, that's true. One side may put forward the facts better than the other, that's true. But the whole basis of the thing, I call it a kind of a game, but it is a serious game, is that whoever wins, the other side says, oh well, we lost this one, let's go with the majority. You must go with the majority. And I said this from the very first day, and if you overthrow this concept, you're moving into terribly dangerous waters where the vote of the majority is not abided by. And the same thing is happening in America. We're in a very, very serious transitional period. And Giles, I remember so well. I remember everybody who spoke in that first meeting. I've never made personal attacks on anybody on this program ever, but I listened so very attentively. And you said yourself, Giles, that we have voted now, let's go with it. Please, give a little discussion to these comments of mine after you come back from the break. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks very much for calling. 952-78-4000.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Viewpoint Talk Radio is current affairs program where we discuss the issues of the day with a panel of invited guests. Joining me in the studios today, Alf Brewer and Alex Rafaela. Just to come back on Felix's points, I, as chairman, umpire, person behind the big mic, I try and stay as impartial as human possible. If I said let's go for it in terms of a Brexit or whatever, I think it would be, I'm trying to keep myself impartial on this one, so I said people would say let's go for it rather than putting my own hue. I am merely the guy who pulls the bells and the whistles and the levers, especially when it comes to phone calls, of which we have a couple on now. 952-784-4000. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, yeah, my name's Derek. I'm calling from Torrox. I just want to say I find myself in agreement with Alf for once. Which I'm really amazed at, because he hit the nail on the head when he said we joined the economic community, but we never joined the EU, or never voted to join the EU. The government did, and no one was explained, because we were just sold a bag of nails, and it's coming home to roost now, and people just got fed up with it completely.
So, yeah, I'll just come back along, Alex.
Danny, I hear you. I have a very firm belief that what has happened in Britain and what has happened in America is runs along parallel lines, and the EU has become a little bit of a scapegoat for it, because if you go back to the late 80s and you go back to the legacy of Thatcherism and Reaganism, basically, I think what people have been revolting against is globalization, because what happened was in the 80s, you still had manufacturing bases both in Britain and in America. And in the name of profit, in the name of the shareholder, in the name of the bottom line, those jobs were then taken away from Britain and America and taken to places like China and India. And then what happened was, because we were forever chasing the dollar or the pound sterling, is nothing replaced those. So then suddenly you had these huge communities which had been the linchpins of society, now had absolutely nothing. They had no jobs, they had no backup, there was no decent welfare state. And then you had little things like in the 90s, the banks all jumped in and said, look, here, quick, your house, we can give you some money to keep, so you can put in a new kitchen. And then when times got bad, they couldn't afford to keep their payments up, and so they lost their house. And then suddenly you had these communities where you once had proud fathers bringing up their children in a tradition, where there was now no tradition, there was now no manufacturing base, there were now no jobs. And if you look at the Rust Belt in America, and you look at the in certain parts of Northern England, where once you had these proud working communities, there is now nothing, because the money has gone into the pockets of shareholders, and the manufacturing is now done on the other side of the world. And so the EU has been used as a scapegoat, I personally think, for ills that can be blamed to monetary policies which were implemented 30 years ago, and we are now living with the grandchildren of those monetary policies, where you have corporations at the top creaming in billions and billions of dollars because of the implementation of globalization, and yet you have communities in places like the Carolinas in America and in Northern England, which are actually literally falling apart because there is no social structure or financial structure to keep them afloat.
But if only life was as simple as you just explained it, Alex. Seriously, we started losing British industry, and I worked with lots and lots of different British industry. We started losing it because the European countries got their act together and were starting to invest into things which had been traditionally ours. So you can't say that we lost our shipbuilding industry because of something that happened in America or China or Vietnam or anywhere else like that. We lost our shipbuilding industry because France decided, against a European Union policy, to invest in the shipbuilding industry. And they, technically, stole our shipbuilding. It was the Thatcher government who decided our coal was too expensive. Not that we didn't have loads of it, because we have got loads of it. Britain's still got loads of coal. But it was more expensive than buying it, especially if you were comparing it to German coal. And because Thatcher wanted to look good inside the European Union, we lost our mining industry completely. Yeah, I don't know how many industries you want me to go through. Pharmaceuticals. We were the world's biggest provider, biggest manufacturer of pharmaceuticals. Until people decided, because of the EU, we had to share it with Europe. We had the world's biggest sugar refineries until the EU decided we had to share it. Spain, who had never had a sugar refinery, built a sugar refinery. Tate & Lyle's owned it, but under some other name. You know, all these industries, it's got nothing to do with giving money to shareholders or anything like that. This is about government decisions that are just poor for the people of Britain. And what you're paying, what you've got the legacy of now, is a society that bases itself on let's bring pleasure to the people who haven't got a job. So, you know, that's what we, you know, gyms and whatever they call them.
And we're going to go live to the lines. Good morning, Cole. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning. Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning. Totally agree with Alex, I'm afraid. I'm not liking the new Tory elf, but anyway, that's another story. Point for Jason. If the will of the people was obeyed regarding public services and prisons and that sort of thing, wouldn't that be lovely? They're not obeying the will of the people for those things. But anyway, regarding Jason and food waste, I listened to all of those interviews, Jason, and they were talking about international food waste, not just European food waste. They also mentioned individuals across Europe and in America who are trying to put this right by selling off unused food and this sort of thing. So it wasn't a European-centred interview. I heard the whole thing. And finally, when it comes to the referendum, quote Farage said, if the result of the referendum, this is why is Farage allowed to say this, and we Remainers are accused of being scaremongers. He said, if the result of the referendum is 52-48, I am telling you now, it is unfinished business. And the other thing Farage said, so this is an important thing, if it had gone the other way, he would still be pushing for a Leave vote, and yet we're being sort of slated for wanting another referendum. But anyway, the other thing he said was, look at Norway, they're rich, they've got a sovereign wealth, all this sort of thing, we could do a Norway. He didn't seem to realise, and this is Farage, he didn't seem to realise at the time that Norway had to accept free movement of people, so that has to pay into the EU and sits around the table and has no can sit at the table but can't have any say in it. So if Farage didn't know the facts, how are we all supposed to know them? Thank you.
Sharon, thanks for that call.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio, its current affairs programme, discussing the issues of the day with a panel of invited guests. Joining me in the studio, Alex Rafaela and Alf Brewer, going live to the lines. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Charles, Peter.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. Very quick one. The other day, I asked my partner if she wanted to go out for dinner one night. Simple question, yes or no. She said no. I went out, had a whale of a time, good wine, good food, good entertainment, got back home in the wee small hours. So a few days later, I asked her if she wanted to go out. Simple question, yes or no. She said, well, you went last time, you had a really good time, you didn't tell me. I said, I didn't know where I was going. So she said, well, where are we going to go tonight? I said, I don't know. But we, after hours and hours of frustrating negotiations, we finally decided where we were going to go, what time we were going to go, when we were going to come back, what we're going to eat, who was going to drive, and we set off. When we got there, there was a sign on the door. It said, sorry, closed, unforeseen circumstances. By the way, my partner's name is Remain. I'll leave you on that, Giles.
Thank you very much, Peter. Only based the question, did you go out or did you go out? 952-784-1000 is the phone number. A couple of emails. Nice point there, though, Peter. Thank you. On the email, on the studio at tre.radio. From David, tell Alf he's talking cojones. Never heard so much rubbish. Britain lost the shipping industry to Japan and South Korea. We've got another caller on the line. 952-784-1000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Well, hi, sorry, it's John from Isidore.
Yes, John.
Yeah, just a very brief one, really for Alex and the similar types like that, that talk about a second vote. Now, there's a certain amount of logic to that, but I can see there should be a second vote. The only problem is that from a negotiating standpoint of view, if you're negotiating exit, and the EU are going to give you a most horrific deal, so if there is a second vote, so there's no encouragement for the EU and to settle with the UK in any way, simply because they know there's going to be a second vote, they can make it as horrific as they can, and so the second vote becomes just a ridiculous thing. There's no logic. There's logic and no logic to it. It's a catch-22 situation, really. And just one simple little thing, which interests me on the EU-US negotiations on tariffs. You know, he has kicked up a fuss. Trump has kicked up a fuss over a $150 billion deficit with the EU. Well, the UK in trade has a $110 billion deficit with the EU. But the US economy, and it's a stupid logic maybe, the US economy is seven times bigger than the UK. So it's actually an equivalent. We have about a $700 billion deficit, which I know sounds nonsense, but it's just interesting to see what's going to come from those negotiations, because you can imagine Trump will stick his heels in and put a 10% tariff on cars, whatever the case may be. And, well, it would be interesting to see what happens. Leave you with that.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-78-4000 into the last 2 minutes or so of the first hour of the show. Alex, as one of those, do you want to come back on any of the points that John from Islington made?
Well, I think the EU are actually just sort of sitting back, looking at the chaos of British government at the moment, thinking the Prime Minister has no strength. She's got the hounds of Brexit ideology snapping at her heels. Especially when her heels curtsy so low and grovelling to... Have you seen her recently curtsying, pictures of her curtsying in the national newspapers?
No, I have indeed.
Literally grovelling to the royal family, slathering at the mouth. And I think they're thinking, well, we can't actually take these people very seriously. So the EU is going to dig their heels anyway. So whether or not we have a second referendum or parliamentary ratification of the deal, which is also something that people are very concerned about, that the parliamentary ratification is something which a lot of people think is needed in order to drive a deal or no deal forward, that actually the EU do not have much confidence in this government anyway, and are probably thinking, well, there's a very good chance the government might change in the next couple of years, so why do we actually need to give any concessions to Britain when actually we're just watching them devour themselves from the inside out.
I never thought I'd share a platform with a fellow Republican, you know. Unbelievable, some of those stuff. I'll come back after the break, Charles, if you don't mind.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio, the email. The Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. And we WhatsApp +34 645 99 67 95. Don't forget, we also Twitter. We are at TRE Talk Radio Europe. Sorry, we are at TRE Talk Is Good. International and national news up next, and then back for a second hour of Viewpoint with me, Charles Brown. Join us after the international and national news.